Eric Galma is here again talking about the sermon he did on the Christian's relationship to the civil government, what we're taught in the Bible, especially in 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. So last time we covered those verses.
Yeah.
And so now, Eric, I want to go to the applications that you gave us.
Yeah.
And I wrote down some notes, and then I know you went to Genesis 4:15.
You're right.
So we want to go all the way back in the Old Testament and see how God rules his own world.
Right.
And what role human government has in it.
Right.
But one of the things you said was this: the government cannot bring about the kingdom of God.
That's right.
A lot of people don't believe that.
That's exactly right. That's the Marxist dream, especially today. Ever since Marx, the belief was if humankind has the right government in place, over time it'll bring about a form of utopia. And this is why even today many of them call themselves progressive. They believe they're progressing towards this utopia. But the biblical worldview has a very limited role for government. The government is simply to restrain the evil inclinations of dead sinners born in Adam. That's really all it's supposed to do. So the church has a limited role, and we explore that later in this message. The church's limited role is to make citizens of this coming kingdom through the proclamation of the gospel. The state's limited role is simply to restrain the evil nature of man. And that's it. And then what happens is Christ, when he comes, he's the king, and he brings the kingdom. So he brings the perfection. When the swords are beat into plowshares and the spears into pruning hooks, and the nations shall learn war no longer in Isaiah 2, that's a result of God's power through Christ alone, not through government, but also not through the church.
Right. So Christ has to be on the scene of history.
Amen. Exactly.
Or you're talking about something different.
That's right.
Okay, so then you went to the narrative in Genesis 4 about Cain and Abel. Why don't you discuss what point you made from that and why it's important?
What I wanted to do for the audience was to show, okay, if God ordains the civil magistrate, the civil rulers for the restraint of evil, let's unpack how God governed prior to human government, because we do see in the opening chapters of Genesis, the example I used was Genesis 4:15, where God was directly involved with the governance of man. We see this, for example, when Cain murders Abel, God himself is on the scene and pronounces judgment upon Cain. Cain, of course, complains. He's kicked out of the garden. In fact, he complains in Genesis 4:14. He says, "You've made me a wanderer," and the term in Hebrew is nuth, and then he's kicked out to the land of Noth, the land of wandering. So there's a play on words. So he says, this is too great, because if someone finds me, they're going to certainly kill me. So what God does in Genesis 4:15 is he places a sign of protection upon Cain. And the idea is if someone molests Cain in any way, hurts him, harms him, kills him, they're going to have to answer to God himself. So this proves to us that God is directly involved in the governance of man. Now, the reason that's significant is because this changes after the flood. What we see then after the flood in Genesis 9 is God is no longer directly involved with the governance of man, but he places human governing authorities over mankind. Now, and as I say that, I'm not claiming that God isn't on his throne. He's ultimately sovereign and rules over his universe. He mediates his governance through human authorities. He raises kings up, as Daniel said, and he brings them down. So he's going to put human beings in Genesis 9 under human rulers. And I know, Bob, you've mentioned this many times. Being under human rulers, as bad as it often is really better than being directly under the divine council.
Yeah, you brought up that Deuteronomy passage in your sermon.
Yeah.
And I think people need to know that because I don't think they get it.
Right.
In fact, that worldview is rarely understood by most Christians.
Right.
You see glimpses of it in the Old Testament.
Yep.
And remember the whole Noahic situation was started because the sons of God, which are these fallen spirit beings that in human form came, Genesis 6, 1 through 4,
right,
and did wickedly with the daughters of men. And so we have the flood.
Yeah.
And this would is so bad. In fact, it was so wicked that it prompted the flood.
Exactly.
Okay. And so the alternative to these sons of God interacting directly with humans,
yeah,
some of those are fallen, is civil government.
Exactly.
And the civil government, if you can believe this, isn't as bad as those fallen demons.
Right. Well said. Okay. Yeah, exactly. You know, and Bob, we see evidence of that. I know we've probably mentioned this in other messages we've done together, but one of the examples that we see this is in Daniel chapter 10, where you have Gabriel, the angel. Remember, Daniel was praying. Well, Gabriel says, I'm paraphrasing, but he says, I would have been here earlier, but I was restrained by the prince of Persia. Well, the prince of Persia isn't a physical prince. It was a spiritual being. And so this is why, like in Ephesians 6, Paul points out that our ultimate battle isn't with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers. There's a demonic realm over the human beings,
yeah.
But the great grace that God has given to us, his mercy, is that, as you've mentioned many times, we're not directly under the rule of these angelic beings.
But people want it.
But they want it, yes.
And that's what's going to lead to the Great Tribulation.
Exactly,
God
Antichrist.
Is going to eventually pull back this restraint.
That's right.
And Antichrist is called the lawless one.
Right.
It's worse.
That's right.
But people want it because they don't like being restrained.
Exactly.
By the civil governments, as bad as they are.
Right, right.
All right? And
yep.
So the world of the spirits is going to be more tangible during the tribulation.
Right.
The seven-year tribulation, Daniel's 70th week.
Exactly.
And toward the end of that, it's called the Great Tribulation.
Yeah, amen.
And that is really, really bad. But people want it, and they will go to great length
yeah.
to try to contact the world of the spirits.
Amen.
Okay? But God is saving us from that by having national boundaries. Okay?
Yeah.
In fact, I'll read the passage that you cited
right.
in your sermon in Deuteronomy 32, 8 through 9. You used the ESV, which is a pretty good translation
it is,
here.
Yeah.
When the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when he divided mankind, he fixed the borders of the peoples according to the number of the sons of God. But the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob, his allotted heritage.
Yeah.
So there's a uniqueness to Israel.
That's right.
Now, some of the translations get this wrong because they couldn't understand what was going on.
Exactly. They'll say the sons of, according to the sons of Israel.
Right.
But the better reading.
But it's hard to understand what that even means.
Exactly. And I know from the Septuagint and even I think some of the Dead Sea Scrolls
yeah,
give us.
Even the older yeah. versions of the Hebrew
right.
did not have sons of Israel.
Right. So what confused people is what is the sons of God? Well, Bob and I have done a lot of work in it. And the sons of God, the B'nai Elohim, is a reference to this divine council. We know this, for example, in Job 1, where
yes.
you have the B'nai Elohim, the sons of God, used to present themselves, it says, before Yahweh. Among them was Satan. So
yes.
this is certainly an angelic realm. We also
see
it in 1 Kings.
And you see in Zechariah.
Yeah.
And also in Revelation, the accuser.
Exactly, before the throne, day
and
night.
And then there's that passage about Micaiah in 1 Kings.
Exactly.
Which one is it?
First? Yeah, 1 Kings, where Micaiah, yeah, they end up, God
there's
uses.
There's a lying spirit that comes from the divine council.
Exactly.
So we know there's fallen beings there.
Yep, to lead Ahab into battle.
Now, some people say, well, why is it like that? Well, God rules his universe as he sees fit.
Amen.
And as we understand the Bible, it helps us see what's going on.
That's right.
And he chooses to do it this way. And in the end, these beings will be defeated and consigned to hell.
Exactly.
And so you've been teaching that in Revelation.
Amen.
But what we need to do, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is understand what the Bible tells us.
That's right.
And have a Christian worldview. It's amazing how many people are in church most Sundays and do not have a Christian worldview.
That's right.
And we need to rectify that because if our thinking's wrong, it'll harm us in many, many ways.
Right. So that's so well said, Bob. And the logic that I wanted the audience to come away with is Genesis chapter 4, God directly governs. Genesis 9, after the flood, God institutes human government. And he does that in Genesis 9, 6, where he says, if a man sheds a man's blood, so by man shall his blood be shed. right there is the institution of human government. But the point of that Deuteronomy 32 passage that you just quoted, for my purposes in the message, was to show not only does God ordain human government, but it's multiple governments.
Why is that important?
Well, and Bob, you've talked about this numerous times, but the reason it's so important is in Genesis 11, the whole world comes together as one. And the reason why is they want to make a name for themselves, not
Babel.
Yahweh. It's Babel. Genesis 11:9, it says that God confused the language and he scattered them abroad. So that was a merciful act by God because, as the famous saying goes from Lord Acton, absolute power corrupts absolutely. If there's ever a time that there's a one government, the evil inclinations of man won't be restrained. For example, Adolf Hitler tries to set up his 1,000-year reign, his Reich, his pseudo-millennium, really.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the evil that he perpetrates, if he was the only world governor, the governor of the entire world, that evil would go unrestrained. But there's other governments, like the United States.
That's who made him stop.
Exactly. We make him stop. So there's other pagan governments that God uses to pound them back into submission.
So these wars are really how the boundaries end up being set at various times in history.
Exactly.
And during the process, many evil things are done.
Right, right.
So people say, well, how can we pray for the governments, or why do it this way?
Yeah.
Because they keep thinking they're going to have their Babel and reach into heaven.
Exactly.
See, they wanted contact with the Elohim, which is a word used in different contexts.
That's right.
It doesn't always refer directly to the most sovereign God.
Exactly.
The creator.
That's right.
There are other beings called Elohim.
That's right.
You know Hebrew. So.
Exactly. The em ending is the plural. And so the idea of the, for example, we often hear about the Lord of hosts.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Lord of the heavenly host of this angelic realm. And so he uses the angelic realm to govern his universe. And this angelic realm, or what we call the divine council, is comprised of both good and bad angels. As you mentioned, Bob, in Genesis 6, it was a very wicked thing that they left their proper abode and end up impregnating women.
Mm-hmm.
So this leads to so much wickedness that God has to send the flood. So his constraint and his mercy and his grace allows for the removal of that and us being directly under human governance.
So what was going on with this whole Babel episode?
Yeah. So the whole...
They didn't like it. They wanted it back.
Exactly.
They wanted it back.
That's what the ziggurat... I think you're right, Bob. The ziggurat is really designed for their access back to the angelic realm. It's basically a big astrological structure.
They wanted to go up.
That's right.
And so... And it goes back to Satan in the garden saying, you'll be like God?
Exactly.
Okay.
And that happens again in the book of Revelation when we see Babylon is recreated. There's one government, and it's under Antichrist.
Right.
And it doesn't lead to heaven.
They never gave up the desire to interact with these spirit beings.
Exactly.
And they don't even care if they're evil ones. We just want to get there.
That's right.
So you see the occult.
Yes.
And you see all these forbidden practices.
That's right.
Divination. And so on, are forbidden in the Old Testament.
Right.
But it's there. You see it in Acts, where you have these magicians and people that want to contact the spirits.
Yes, yes.
And Eric and I have been trying to tell people for a long time. I know I've been doing it for a couple decades or more.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't know what you're asking for if you want to go into this realm of the spirits.
That's right.
We are being shown mercy by having national boundaries, civil governments.
That's right.
And human rulers.
Amen.
Even if they're corrupt ones like Nero was.
Right.
Okay. And the attack against that, and we see it today with all these people wanting to erase all the boundaries and have this we are the world.
Right.
Last winter I took a picture of a church here in this city. They had a big sign out and said, we are the world, the church.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Just the opposite of what John said in 1 John.
Exactly. That's right.
But that's this lust for Babel.
Exactly.
Because humans are rebelling against God and how he's chosen to rule his own universe.
Yeah.
And so during this time when we have this Deuteronomy 32, 8 and 9.
Right.
He fixed the borders of the peoples. Okay, we don't see these sons of God.
Exactly.
And I think the Septuagint has the angels of God.
Sure.
But either way, it's a discussion of the angelic realm.
Right.
Okay. We are under human rulers. As bad as they are, they're not as bad as the fallen spiritual beings.
Exactly.
That's and so right. The Antichrist will not come on the scene of history until, I believe, after the rapture.
Exactly. I believe that too.
Exactly. And the restraint of the civil government will go away.
Right.
Because the Christians won't be around, for one thing, bugging people and not letting them have what they want.
Exactly. And
so our prayers, we're praying for the civil government, pay our taxes, affirming the God-ordained national boundaries. Acts 17 says that. You mentioned
exactly.
That.
Acts 17:26, the same thing.
Paul said that to a pagan audience in Athens.
Yeah, that's right. He was laying out a biblical worldview.
God actually draws these boundaries.
Yeah. And you know, what's interesting, Bob, is today one of the predominant false religions is Marxism, and it's dressed up as being progressive, etc. They use a lot of euphemistic terms. But we had one candidate in particular this last presidential election that wanted to have a borderless world. She was against borders. Well, what's very interesting is once one has a biblical worldview, what it does for you is it enables you to see what the role of government is. It's very limited, many governments, but the role of the many governments is simply to restrain evil. Well, once you have a Marxist worldview and you believe that government can bring about utopia, the role of government changes from the limited role of restraining evil to redistributing wealth in order to try to bring a kingdom. So what I like to tell people is one of the big divides in America today has to do with this very biblical worldview. Do you want government to do its biblical mandate, which is simply to restrain evil? That's it. Or do you want it to redistribute wealth? It's two R's. And the reason I say that, let's take the example of there was something happened in the United States Congress some years ago, about 5 years ago, called sequestration. Sequestration, a lot of people were confused about it, but it simply was a reduction in the amount of money spent in the federal government. Well, Paul Ryan, who was a Republican, got to choose where half of the cuts came from. And there was a Democrat named Patty Murray. Now, Patty Murray is a communist. Well, Patty Murray got to choose where half of the cuts came from. Well, Paul Ryan took them from domestic spending. The Democrats took all of the cuts that they were in charge of from the military. Why? Because for them, the role of government isn't to restrain evil. It's to redistribute wealth. So that's how practically understanding a biblical worldview helps us even in understanding our politics. Do we want government officials who want to restrain evil or redistribute wealth?
Well, there's this issue that we saw earlier about living a godly life in dignity and tranquility.
Yes.
See, that makes it possible for the gospel to go forward.
Amen.
And the only way to, quote, redistribute wealth, which is, we know from history, that isn't what happens.
Exactly.
It is redistributed. It's taken from people and given to the people in power.
Right, right.
It's always happened that way.
Yeah, you're right.
And so that means you have to get rid of rules and laws that protect private property.
Yes.
And then it just creates nothing but chaos.
Exactly.
Okay, because you can't say somebody broke into my home if you can't have any private property.
Right, right. Good point.
Okay, so where's the boundaries for that? Where's the states?
Right.
And
right.
The whole thing can't possibly work.
Yeah.
We don't have it so far because history is going on.
Yeah.
Pax Romana had a system where you could appeal to civil authorities.
That's right.
Which we saw in Acts, Paul did that.
Yeah, exactly right.
We have hearings and whatever. He appealed to Rome. They had a system of travel. God's allowing history to go on so that more people will be saved and added to the bride of Christ.
Amen.
And he will determine how long that goes.
That's right.
During this church age, Christians should be praying that we have civil government.
Yes.
That we have national boundaries, not just for our country, but for all countries.
Right.
And that within those boundaries, there's some sort of reasonable laws so that people can live dignified lives.
Exactly.
Christians should be praying for that.
Yep.
And if you're promoting this borderless Marxist, whatever progressive they call it, the emergent church does, because they think heaven's coming to earth.
Right.
I would suggest you just get back into the scripture
right.
and see what God ordained. Now, it's not our job to take up arms and decide where the boundaries are going to be.
Right.
That's God right. providentially draws them out.
Yep.
But we should be thankful for civil government.
Amen.
Because where this is going, just so you know, read the Bible. God cannot lie. It's all in there.
Right.
It's heading toward Antichrist.
Yep.
The lawless one.
Amen.
Okay. Everybody will be happy to have him.
Right.
They'll have their Babylon that they were thwarted back in Genesis. They were not allowed to have the Tower of Babel.
Yes.
God drew out boundaries. You have the Table of Nations.
Yeah.
Now that changes as history goes on, but there are still nations with boundaries. The dream is to get rid of all that, go back to Babel, and have this lawless one.
Exactly, and they'll get it.
If you are going to go join the emergent church and look for erasing all the boundaries,
yeah,
you shouldn't be doing that if you're a born-again Christian, because you are opposed to how God's chosen to rule his own universe.
Amen.
Okay, and you're not going to get heaven on earth. You're not going to recreate the Garden of Eden.
That's right.
The world isn't going to become paradise.
Yeah.
What will happen is hellishness, and millions and millions of people die whenever that is tried.
That's right.
How many died under Marxism in the Soviet Union?
Yeah, millions.
How many died under this national socialism under Hitler?
Yeah, that's
and
right.
He was green, by the way. Some people should read that book, Nazi Oaks.
Well said.
He
yes.
wanted to make enough space, despite all of his military and industrial complex. The goal was to
green
get that
space, yeah.
settled
right.
so we could have a green space for the Volk,
right.
the Germanic people, to have their paradise.
Right.
But millions of people died.
Yeah, that's
okay?
right.
Okay. So, and the same thing happened in Southeast Asia and so on.
Yeah, Pol Pot.
Okay. The Christian is not opposed to people living on the earth.
Yeah.
We don't want millions of people to die.
Right.
We want civil government to restrain evil and to stop murders and all of these things that happen.
Right.
Because our role, besides living this peaceful, tranquil life, which is what we would like to do,
yeah.
is to preach the gospel to all the nations, all the people, so that the kingdom of God would be populated with persons who are saved out of this world.
Amen. That's right.
And so I can't tell you how many Christians don't understand this.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
You know, and Bob, as you're mentioning the Antichrist in this one world government, in 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul makes it very clear that this Antichrist, when there is one world order and one nation, as it were, one government under the Antichrist, he sets himself up in the temple as God. And it really does bring us back to the original sin that we see in the garden. And then at Babel, you will be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. That's where the one governmental system leads to.
Now, it's interesting also in the garden. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
We have just a little bit of time, then we'll have to close this particular session. But it's interesting how paganism and neo-pagan religion, which is becoming very, very popular in our country,
yeah.
is focused on the romantic, the idealistic, the sensual.
Right.
Well, what was it that appealed to Eve
right.
in the temptation of the serpent?
That's right. That's right. It was the way the fruit looked.
Okay, delight to the eyes.
Yes.
So you have aesthetic pleasure. Now, we're not saying you can't have art or whatever.
Right.
But this was how humans were drawn away from paradise.
Right.
They were already in paradise, and Satan's offering something better.
Right. Great point. Well said.
Okay. So there's aesthetic pleasure to be had in the forbidden fruit.
That's right.
Now, they were already told you could freely eat from the whole garden.
Yeah.
Okay. And it would make them wise. What kind of knowledge were they going to gain that they couldn't have otherwise with direct access to Yahweh?
Right.
They had general knowledge and a place of authority. Adam named the animals.
Right.
Okay. So what was going to be gained? The occult.
Yeah, secret.
Knowledge of the spirits.
Yeah.
So the serpent, most believe, is inspired by Satan here.
Yeah, that's
okay?
right.
So there was already a fall in the spirit realm
yeah.
before the fall in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is knowledge God hasn't chosen to reveal.
That's right.
It's occult knowledge and it's spiritual evil.
Yeah.
Okay, and then there's this idea that you can be like God.
That's right.
Why should God be the unique one in the universe?
Right.
Why should the triune God of the Bible be the only true object of worship?
Yeah.
Why can't you become like God? And so there's an attack on the person of God as the only non-contingent, true,
That's
sovereign
right.
creator.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at all of that, and you look at neo-pagan religion, which I think is probably the most popular religion in America.
Right.
A lot of the people who believe it don't even go to an organized church building.
Yeah, they just call themselves spiritual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they believe this neo-pagan. That's their inclination.
Right.
Because that's what sinners are like.
Yeah, that's right.
Because we don't want to submit to God.
Yeah.
That who's revealed true, the truth, and has actually spoken true law. They want to get their morality from nature.
Right.
That's what's going on. And what we're warning people is, don't buy this. If you're a Christian, you right. cannot buy this. You can't go back and agree with Eve
right.
against God.
That's right.
You can't do that and call yourself a Christian. You might as well just say, I hate God, I want Antichrist.
So well said. God draws boundaries, and we have to stay within our boundaries. The angelic realm left their boundaries. They wanted to...
We got the flood.
We get the flood. Man wants to leave his boundaries. We got Babylon and the confusion, and we're going to get the Antichrist.
Yeah, so they want to leave it again.
They want to leave it again.
And they'll end up with the lawless one.
That's right.
And so if you're angry about national boundaries,
yeah,
why don't you just go back and read Acts 17,
right,
Deuteronomy 32, and the Table of Nations.
Yes.
What did God intend, and get a biblical worldview? And we are actually better off, because this is the best way to raise your family, have a decent life. If you call the police, hopefully they're going to come and restrain evil.
Amen.
And protect you.
That's right.
That's not a bad thing.
That's right. That's why Paul said in Romans 13:4, they do not bear the sword in vain. Very important for the Christian worldview to understand the government was ordained to restrain evil by shedding man's blood. That's the establishment of Genesis 9:6. If a man sheds a man's blood, so by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God he made man.
Amen. So I hope that we helped our listeners really get a big picture of a biblical worldview. If you want to hear the sermon that we're referencing here that Eric preached, it was preached December 2, 2018, at Gospel of Grace Fellowship. The website is ggf.church, and you can go there. All of our sermons are there.
That's
in
right.
our Bible classes. And you can watch or listen, or both, to Eric's sermon, 1 Timothy 2:1-2, the government's role to restrain evil.
Well, thanks, Bob, for all the help with this.